Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is writer Kyle Higgins, and you've jumped inside the pull bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Batmobile! Ignition!
This is The Pull Bag, episode 513. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, sort of, kind of, almost as always, is JT from Saskatoon.
G'day,
mate. And it's time we go down to Australia and talk about a bunch of bats. No guano.
You've lost me already.
It's an ace joke! Oh my god! I haven't even seen When Nature Calls. All as I know is about the bat guano from Australia when he was down under, don't you know? Anyway, we are here returning to our second part for Batman Beyond Neo Year. This is issues 4-6. And up next is Gotham's Fist. I love this cover. This cover is amazing.
Yeah, I dig the silhouettes of, the sort of Gotham
and Batman, Terry,
and juxtaposed against this, one of those giant Blade Runner billboards out amongst Gotham City, or it's the side of a skyscraper, and it's the blow by blow as they fall, which is a really cool image. And I mean, going from the last issue where Terry is trapped in what he thought was the mayor's office, and the sword starts giving him the justice.
Mm-hmm.
As it were, and he's got to fight to escape, and we both have the wikis open, folks, and it says that the sword wasn't trying to kill him, he's trying to ruin the bat suit, which I did not get the first time I read this. I literally thought this thing was like, I'm gonna slice you into bat sashimi.
I honestly
had a theory that I kept in the back of my head when I was reading this, and we recorded the first episode because I wasn't sure if you would add this or noticed it in the first time. But you have that last image where you see the foot shift, like transform into the knight, or into the sword, and it's revealed that it's not one individual, and it's essentially off-brand Skynet is able to hijack people's bodies with nanotech. And it's like how the agents take over a person inside the Matrix in the movies.
Yep.
You know, it's literally, they're like, they're spazzing out.
Yep.
And probably looks like their pixels are stretching and warping like in the Matrix. And, you know, they become the most anime man to ever anime in Neo Gotham.
Yeah,
I like that I said that the last episode, and I am sticking with that because it's just fun to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, the first thing that hits me reading this fourth issue is, Isley Gardens retirement facility.
You know, and I'm just glad I noticed that too, and I'm just glad that we didn't get a shot of like some old withered woman sitting in a corner.
Yeah.
At least we think it's a woman, and then we go by and it's just a plant, and it's like, it still could be Pam.
It still could be Pam. That's right. So Gotham's Sword and Batman are having this fight, and I can so hear Will Friedle in my head as in his Batman voice, "Only thing you missed more than the costume contest was me. What would Mommy Gotham say?"
Yeah. And again, I love that. And I did like the, aw, poor cyborg Renfair wannabe.
Yep.
And because, I mean, it's not just Batman. It's also Eric. that I hear when Wolf Regale does Terry. This is what if Eric was competent?
Well, Eric
would be Terry.
Well, yes, but
I'm not saying Eric he's a complete idiot.
Okay, so we're getting into crossover here, folks. Steve Megatron and I have been doing Podcaster Meets World since 2015 or 2016, right after we did the top 100 television shows countdown here on the Geekcast Radio Network, and Boy Meets World came in at number 50 on that list, and we were both incensed and insulted, and we both got butthurt over the fact that it came in at number 50 because it should be much higher in our personal opinion. And yes, I'm speaking for Steve as well because he knows I can speak for him on this matter. So because it came in at number 50 on the GCRN's Top 100 Television Series podcast series list, we then started a review series of Boy, and eventually we will do Girl Meets World, and we're doing it by seasons, and we're splitting it up into two parts, so season one, part one, season one, part two, etc. We're just now getting to season five part, so the second half of season five, where usually that's like the point where the stupidness from Sean, because Sean had a little bit of stupidity, transferred to Eric's stupidity, but Eric, essentially, throughout that series, he's an idiot, or he turns into an idiot savant, because, you know, once he goes all squirrel, he gets all philosophizing and things like that. But you are absolutely right. I'm not disagreeing with you. And again, I love – normally I'm not the biggest fan of monologuing, like the internal, like the, you know, your foe only knows what you show them, like – That's the internal monologue for Terry, and that's fine. I can still hear his voice and whatever else because he's talking to Bruce, who's dead and whatever. But like sometimes I because I don't have a voice in my head for certain characters, I just don't like. That's why I don't like that internal monologue. I love it here. I will say that the main cover you mentioned, it looks like they're breaking off of something or break. I think it is meant to be a skyscraper because I think it is showing shattering of glass. And then this next panel here, as Terry swings out of the building, out of the window, you know, you surprise them with the truth. And yeah, they're fighting on skyscrapers. So I'm assuming that that's,
I'm just saying with Eric, when you put Eric Matthews up against Terry McGinnis, Eric looks like he's in a way lower reading level. And I'm just saying, but like I said in the last episode, if they did this as a directed DVD animated movie, I would like it if they had Will Friedle do the monologue, which are, when you look at the monologue and it's in quotes like that, that's excerpts.
Oh yeah.
Basically all his monologue, it's excerpts from the journal that he's been writing.
Yeah. Because he's writing to Bruce. He's talking to Bruce.
Also, and I love the comic booky trope of when the hero and villain fight and the villain or the hero makes the villain create his exit, like how the sword, you know, Terry gets the sword to cut the triangle.
Yep.
And they pop out like that. I do like the reference to the old school where I feel closer to you with the grapple in my hand, back to basics, like an echo across time.
Yep.
And I was just like, you're goddamn right.
And the way that, and I'm sorry to interrupt, I just want to bring this up really quickly since you're on that panel and you're talking about this scene. So when the triangle gets cut and Terry breaks out through the sky, that the panel you're talking about, the colors and the interiors of the stuff shift. So the triangle that was cut out, it's red. And my thing is, wait a minute. Terry doesn't need to go find the Triforce of Power. He's not fighting Ganon. Legend of Zelda meets Batman Beyond, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine?
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to the greatest asspole in the history of assholes, Mike Blanchard, folks.
Hey, now.
So Terry's, you know, still getting the business. He's thrown through into like a splicer's hangout. You see a mural to celebrating Selena on the wall.
Holy Selena.
Yeah. And I love it. Does that classic, like, what are those fins on Batman's glove for? As he sinks it in to like stop him from falling off the side of another skyscraper.
Yep.
And that then
so cool.
I love the just in the economy of motion where he grabs a sword and like throws him out. And then he tries to get away, and the sword just comes, where the heck are you going? Mm-hmm. You know, missile drop kicks him and the sword into Terry's back. And this is the thing, like, I didn't get this the first time around the comic, where he stabs Terry in the gut.
Yes.
He gets off, like, you see where the batarangs come from in the cartoon. Like, they kind of come out of the wrist.
Right.
They sometimes come out of the belt, but I do love the fact that, they're like these super techie compressed cartridges, like, probably look no bigger than, like, a big flash drive. And then when he throws it, it's just ching. And I love in movies, comics, anime, whatever, where hero bad guy does the no-look grab.
Yep.
And then he eats it because it's an exploding batarang, and we find this old dude that's been possessed by, you know, off-brand Skynet.
Yep.
And then Terry does what every hero does. He goes to the new love interest, you know, Detective Boom, and a woman after my own heart. She's got beer. She's got nachos. And it has to be said, and if you can edit that audio clip in here at this point, Mike.
Batman does not eat nachos!
Which should have been an immediate clue. Like, if you watch horror movies, you know this. It's like, where the comes in. And she morphs. And it's not that the off-brand Skynet that is the living Gotham is sexist or doesn't respect pronouns or anything like that. Although I'm sure there's some high-minded individual that will see these panels and try and unleash the dogs of war.
It's just comics, folks. It's okay. Yeah. It's meant to be fun. But
Detective Boonma morphs from a woman into a man because, you know, evil knows no gender or whatever.
Yeah.
And they get back to fighting. I do love the two panels in the next page where the sword morphs his weapon into what looks like an Energon axe, for lack of a better word. And then Terry feeds him the entire refrigerator.
Yep, pretty much. Your refrigerator's running. Well, you better go catch it.
Yeah, no, wait, I got it. Boom.
Yeah.
And they wrecked this apartment. God, I can't remember. There was I want to call it Replay. There was this sci-fi movie came out a couple of years ago about this guy who's a quadriplegic. And or upgrade or something, he gets this chip in his neck that essentially the computer drives his body, although he can drive and then he gives the computer control. And it's just this really gnarly fight scene between him and like this one guy where they just tear the hell out of this kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thought of watching this, as the sword continues feeding Terry every knuckle sandwich it has.
Yeah.
And then they have that shot of where Terry's just, like, drooling the blood out of his mouth.
Oh, I love that. I took a screenshot of that because that's going to be a Facebook profile picture at some point. But he goes back into this, you know, this model, I stay standing. You know, that's just such a good line.
Yeah, and it's a badass line. He tries taking the sword out with Beam's taser.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a little bit of, I don't think it was intentional, where he's running down the hall, tearing wires out of the costume, strapping the taser to his wrist like some sort of Deadshot gauntlet blaster. And the one where he's powering it up to deliver the Bat Falcon punch.
Yeah.
I love just how the colors shift, and it almost looks like he's got some Luther Tech strapped to his arm because the red cable looks purple. And you got the green taser. I love that. And, yeah, it's just like, eat this? And he literally punches the villain out of his new girlfriend. When they bring the title back, and we'll talk about that at the end of the episode, Dana comes back and meets Beam, and he's like, really? Really, Terry? I'm gone for 2 months? Really?
Yeah. But they have a nice little moment where, you know, nice little sprawled out moment kind of thing. Yeah, where
don't be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And we end this issue with Terry going back to the beginning in a way, going back to Wayne Manor, and you see, like, Oh, wow. Bruce.
It's, yeah, it's gone.
He didn't skimp on the C4. Like, I saw that and I thought of, I don't know if you've ever played Arkham Knight or if the story of that.
I've seen people play it. So okay. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So like where the explosion that takes out Wayne Manor and we assume the Batcave at the end of that game. Sorry for spoiling the game, folks. You've had a few years to play it. I make no apologies.
You just don't say you're sorry and then don't make no.
Sorry, not sorry. That's what I was going for. But no, like the damage done in the game was not nearly as complete as the damage done in this comic.
Oh, no, because like
there's literally three pieces of the house left.
Yeah, exactly. If I didn't know what the trees and the gate was, I would be like, where the fuck is Terry?
Why are you going to a cemetery?
Exactly. Yeah. Stop being so semi, Terry.
You know, and honestly, I thought for as big as the explosion was, there just would have been a crater. I mean, it would have been like,
It would have been gone.
That was it. I think it was like Aftershock was a storyline in the 90s where an earthquake sank most of Gotham, and which led to the No Man Land or No Man's Land storyline, you know. But yeah, we got the end of this issue. Damn.
Jackson and Colin on writing are just, man, like this is so good.
Out of the park.
So good. And the art is so great. Like you were talking about with the colors. The one thing I noticed in issue 4 more than almost anything else is the constant color palette shift. Because you have all of like the buildings and they're all kind of flashy and glass looking. And obviously there's glass in the buildings because there's windows and whatever else. But like it's very, it's kind of like Hot Rod. It's a sleek, sexy import kind of thing, you know.
With turbo handling.
Exactly. You know, and it's one of those types of things. And then you go to something as like, I can't tell you how many times Batman's suit design, as far as the overall art, changes in this one issue. Like between the page where he's, you know, says, you know, I'm still standing, between the page that you're talking about with attaching the gauntlet. Like it's like almost two different art styles, but it's so good because it matches. Like they're in this story and this universe that they're in is like, we're fighting the city itself. We are, you know, it's kind of like, and I know most people are going to roll their eyes and groan when it's kind of like Power Rangers RPM a little bit.
I could see there's similarities between that storyline.
Yeah. Slight. You know? I'm not saying it's exact. I'm saying it's very, very slight,
but you know that you could totally write a future story where Terry finds an even deeper level of the Batcave and there's these five vehicles in there and there's weird ports on certain parts of them. And why is the Justice League here? And oh God, we've become a Sentai.
Yeah.
I said Sentai, not hentai, folks. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Well, either way, it could go either way.
Yeah.
But issue 4 was so cool and so wow. Just wow.
Yeah. And I love that, like I said, if they did an animated movie, that would be the perfect beat to go black for scene trends as Terry, as the camera is from behind him, and you see the charred ruins of once stately Wayne Manor, as you know, we end that and they go into the next issue. Now, like issue 4, that it's a straight up 5. Like, there's the only dialogue really is from Terry. Like, you get a little bit from the sword, but most of it's done in that first person narrative, like a good detective noir sort of story. One of my favorite things, I don't know if you've ever seen the show or read the books, folks, the Dresden Files.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen all of it.
The books are so much better than the show. But the show was an one season wonder on Sci-Fi Channel before they went sci-fi, I'm fairly certain. And that's an entire episode trying to explain why that pisses me off. But the basis of the story is Harry Dresden is a wizard / detective in Chicago. And all the books are written by Jim Butcher, who I'd very much love to meet someday and tell him how much I love his work. He writes them all in first-person narrative. That's this entire issue, almost, with some brief bits of dialogue between Terry and the Sword. But yeah, I love this issue. It's a straight-up five for me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's everything you just said and more. And what you said is, like what you just said, like, it's straight-up action. It's straight-up Batman versus villain action. This is the point, like I mentioned last episode, issue three was a good little cliffhanger kind of thing. And then the next week or the next month or the next whatever, like you're saying, if this was a film or if this was, can you imagine if this was a 6-episode animated series? Oh, God, it would be so good, because you'd have to wait to figure this out. But then you get this episode with issue four and you get all of the action, and the action just keeps on continuing, because in issue five, like, oh my God, we're gonna get to that here in a second. But yeah, I'm absolutely, yeah, five's all around. Issue five, man, this cover, I don't, like, I'm gonna have to go through at the end after we get back from the break later from doing ads and all that, when we close the show. I'm gonna have to go back and look at all these covers to figure out which ones are my favorites, because almost every single cover, even if it has a variant cover to it, I have one favorite from each of these six issues. And this main cover with him standing on the whatever he's standing on, and then the sword.
It's the ruins of Wayne Manor.
Oh, well, okay, well, yeah, the ruins of Wayne Manor, with the sword kind of lighting the way, like, it.
And it's either circuits or Neo-Gotham behind him. You got the
I think it's a bit of both.
And then you got the tendrils from Gestalt, coming up through the ruins like that.
Yeah, so this is as much as I praised the last issue and as much as I'm praising this cover, this is kind of where I got lost. So hopefully you can explain it, because I'm like, what? Like, I know what a Gestalt is. A Gestalt is Devastator. That's what a Gestalt is. But, like, I'm so lost with these tentacles. Like, is this part of the Living Gotham? Is this part of the Sword? It's
the Gestalt, like those three that beings, like that hive mind that we met in the,
okay,
the second issue.
Okay, well, the second issue was a week ago, so I don't remember past yesterday.
Yeah. And Gestalt is defined as an organized whole that is perceived as more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, like Devastator.
Me smash puny Autobots. And I love the specialized speech / thought bubbles that we get from the Gestalt as we're going into the Batcave.
Yep.
And it's like siblings bitching with each other. We live in a grave, the optimal point. We live, you know, and they're bitching and complaining. And I love the motion above Sigma defense pattern. They will not take us from us.
They will not take us from us. Okay, Venom. Thank you. I love the main title page where we see Terry with Beam, and I love that. I think that's great. And again, I want to make sure I say this, because I know we praised Colin and Jackson in the last one, and not that we're not praising the art anyway, but I just want to make mention of his name, Max Dunbar and Romulo. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing you. I don't know. The colorist on this, they're both amazing.
Fajardo Jr.
There you go.
And Adita Medinkar. Please.
We don't pronounce names.
We're uncultured swine and don't know of other cultures beyond our own.
I can barely pronounce Jonathan Todlarian. Or Todlarian, because he's a liar sometimes.
You're going to pay for that.
Blanche Ford. That's right. I know, right? God. Yes. Yeah. So it's not about me. It's about her.
Yeah. Also, I think it's coincidence. I don't know if Mr. Dunbar planned this, but the way he's standing there, the way he's framed, pardon my voice, folks, I'm still getting over a cold, is like the image of Batman holding Jason's body after the warehouse goes up.
That's, yeah, absolutely. That's most definitely. I mean, she's not technically the right. Isn't Jason reversed? Isn't Jason's head in?
I'm not saying it's exactly.
Yeah, but
it's,
no. I know, but yeah, you're right. No, absolutely, you are absolutely. Because I mean, whenever you have anybody in distress like that in a Batman comic, how can you not make a Jason Todd reference? I mean, come on.
That whole image of Batman holding Jason Todd, again, I would have to ask, I believe it was the great Jim Aparo,
yeah,
who did the art in that issue, mm-hmm. whether or not it was to acknowledge the shot of Superman holding Supergirl's body on that cover from Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's just an infinitely repeatable image across DC's comic history.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Batman is like, please, we got to save her. Mm-hmm. We got to get her to the Batcave. Help me help her. And I do like that she is still a cop. We are still criminals. Batman, that word doesn't mean much these days.
No. A mistake, an ally, life.
And also a quick tangent where he said that word doesn't mean much these days. I keep thinking of the great Mandy Patinkin in Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yes.
You know, yes. And then you see like literally how much is left of Wayne Manor and the almost half hour drive if you're a normal person and not driving a nuclear powered flying car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it is gone. Like, dear God.
Yep. Gotham must be stopped no matter the cost.
Yeah, pretty much. And pretty much. Then we get into Gestalt putting their, you know, little cyber tendrils into mm-hmm. Boone and Beam's body. I just keep feeling like I'm going to butcher her last name. So it's Detective Beam from here on out. And you see that the whole way that the living Gotham possesses people is they're literally infected with nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. And they use that to like puppet their bodies and project the hologram of the sword. And then Batman doesn't like needles.
No, Batman does not. Terry does not like needles. Yeah, no. So we get to a point where they're doing all this stuff, and I love the scene where if it's in the water, it's not just that sort of Gotham can be, it can be anyone. It means anyone can be the sword, including us. This is suboptimal. Suboptimal? Raising your voice helps no one. It helps me!
Now, unless they gave each, or however they do the voice of
The Gestalt.
You either voice casting the animated movie here.
Yes.
Either make the Sword of Gotham, or the Gestalt voiced by Gary Chalk.
Huh. That's not what I thought you were gonna say. That's interesting. That would I could see.
But I would put the Sword as Gary Chalk, and. Refresh my memory, was it Corey Burton who voiced Soundwave? Or was that, no, that was Peter Cullen.
No, it was Frank Welker. But Frank the point Welker. Is, you already mentioned Corey, and I'm going to go with Corey because you know what I want this voice to be? I want this to be Brainiac, and that was Corey.
Well, given the colors of the Gestalt, that would actually be very appropriate. And although Frank Welker doing like a Soundwave, yeah. Actually, no, you do... And not to Transformers. You've got three members of the Gestalt. One is Frank Welker. One is Corey Burton. And the third, we have to get somebody who can do a sound alike because we need a motherfucking Starscream up in here.
Oh, that's easy. It's either Frank Todaro or Steve Bloom.
Steve Bloom.
I mean, Frank's pretty damn good too. So yeah. We interviewed Steve, Frank.
But yeah. I love the whole... is it aerosolized, too heavy, ingested? Made me think of that scene in Fast 6 where they're breaking down the bad guys' cars.
Yep.
And The Rock and Gina Carano are like, wow, these guys really do know their shit.
Wait, and Gina Carano was in Fast 6?
Yeah, she was like the Rock's right-hand woman who turns out to be working for...
Oh, shit.
For Owen Shaw.
Wow. Okay, well, I... I thought Mando was the first thing I ever saw her in. Okay, well then apparently I saw her in Fast. I don't remember. It's been so long since Fast 6.
Yeah, and so I love that. And then self-diagnosis completed.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry's only he's only a meat sack, so takes him a little bit to catch up. And he's like, wait, if it's not in the water, it's could be the sword. The hell?
That's what I said earlier. I kind of jumped ahead earlier with.
Yeah.
And again, I like that. Sorry, good.
I was going to say, he's like yelling, raising your voice helps no one. It helps me.
Yeah. I know. So with Will Friedle voicing Terry McGinnis / Batman Beyond, he did and he doesn't really change the voice that he does for that character. It's not like Bruce and Batman with Kevin. It's not as deep a change, but it's not like Terry is more soft and Batman is more like a little bit not gravel. It's more grave. It's deeper, but it's not as deep as
it's not so much that. It's akin to what Kevin Conroy, may he rest in power, did with his Bruce and his Batman voices. Terry is more emotional.
Yep.
And Batman is very flat. And I don't mean flat in his voice.
No, it's emotionally flat. Yeah, he's
almost very, a monotone.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like in that wonderful, wonderful movie. Holy rusted metal, Batman. Huh? Like
the ground, it's metal and it's rusted and full of holes. Get it? Holy.
Oh, all right. Yeah, but that scene that you, the suboptimal, it helps me. Like, I love, because again, I can hear Will's voice as Batman in my head when I'm reading this.
Yeah, and, you know, as they say, like, look, we can save her, it's going to take time, like, they got to develop a antibody for the nanotech, and she will continue, she is resting, she will continue to do so. And what if she never wakes up? Then we failed, and this grave will be ours. And I love the next page after that where Terry goes up. He's taking the mask off. He's standing in the ruins of Wayne Manor looking out. The fact that the towers, the buildings of Neo-Gotham have grown so large that it's literally blocked out the horizon.
Yep.
But it's no longer that techno red-purple. It's blue and white and silver, and the sun is shining off the mirrors, and it's like Terry sees a way out. He sees the end of the road. He sees hope.
Yeah, he sees the hope, and I have to read this entire thing because it's just amazing. This city, my enemy, the only home I've known my entire world. I know its corners like I know my own face. This city, my enemy, Bruce, I know you felt the same way, different times, different sides of the tracks, but if this sprawl of brick and steel was never dark, just in shadow, you saw it sick with crime, and you couldn't be the cure. You had to travel the world, climb the highest mountain, brave the deepest pit, quite literally, to become what this city needed you to be. Now it's my turn to let the city burn. Oh my God. Like, and that's not everything that he says. It goes on and he continues. By the way, Max, nice, not that I really care either way, but everyone always remarks about Nightwing and artists doing the Nightwing butt shot. That's a nice butt shot on Terry, I guess. This city, my enemy, without counter to Gotham's infection, anyone could become a threat, and each threat someone I'm supposed to save. Gotham might not know where I am. It thinks that I'm hiding, but I'm not hiding. We both know better than that, don't we, Bruce? Oh, it's so damn good.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. 3 months later.
Later, yeah. You know, I wish somebody would do a better voice for that kind of stuff. Like, I know certain people in certain YouTube videos use that thing. I just hate the voice. Like, if it was voiced better, I would I might actually enjoy.
What, do you have something against French people?
No, it isn't about the French accent. It's about just the delivery of the line. It just, like,
if there's one thing I love from SpongeBob, it's whenever they do that a few moments later.
Mm-hmm.
But I get that. But yeah, so 3 months have gone by. Lumos is peacocking his way across a talk show, and he, within three sentences, not even three sentences, like two sentences in the one panel, he takes over the show.
Yep.
And this chick, who I am not saying that she is unintelligent, but she may have just been hired for her looks, because she lost control of this interview so quickly.
Yeah, no, it's that charm of Lumos. It's that
Vicky Vale. She is not.
No, Vicky Vale would never have hair like that.
But how they're leaning in, and he's like seducing her. It's like a whole rom-com thing.
Yep.
Takes her to the window and shows her this giant brick with his name strapped to the side of it. And I was immediately thought of that scene from Avengers where, you know, he wants a monument with his name on the side of it that reaches the sky. Son of a bitch.
Yeah,
from the first Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah, I know. But at least, you know, at least Tony was much better at the whole thing.
And then we go back to Wayne Manor, to the Batcave. We watch Terry committing one of the cardinal sins of working out. You lift the weights. You don't smack them together like that. That's poor gym etiquette, Terry. I almost want to take a point off for that, but
he's not technically in a gym. I mean, he's
in the bat gym.
He's not in the bat. If he was in the bat gym, there would be a bat gym on every corner, kind of like Cobra Kai. But this is not Cobra Kai.
No, it's Wayne Manor, and he's in the goddamn bat gym. Anyway, he's working out, and all of a sudden, you know, the Gasol tell him it's ready, and you see Terry's gotten swole and grown a beard because it's been 3 months.
Yep.
I love how the shadows are missing in that one section of the wall. We got the bat symbol up there because he's goddamn Batman. And we go to see, and he's like, the Gestalt's telling him, you know, all this stuff that they've put together, they've got, you know, LexCorp tech, probably something from Cord. Mm. And one way or another, Terry says, we're done here, do it.
Yep.
And I love how it's like the classic bat cowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mouthpiece is missing, you know, because he's got to show off his Riker beard.
Yep, exactly.
And they have successfully drained the nanotech from Beam.
Yep.
He's like, are you okay? You need rest?
I need
coconut water. And he's like, I need answers. And Terry is, and I wouldn't say no to a cheap bottle of wine. And Terry's like, that's my girl.
Yep. Oh, man. So we get the explanation of all this stuff through them as they're sharing the bottle of wine. And we see a broken batarang. We see
a broken mansion.
The only reference, I think, I don't think he's in this at all, other than, oh, it's Ace's collar. Damn it.
I'm pretty sure, and I'll have to go back and check that first. I'm pretty sure Terry made mention of placing Ace in, like, a kennel or something.
Yeah, but just seeing that collar, I mean, come on. Yeah.
Just the bestest boy in the Bat universe, no matter whether he's a Great Dane or a German Shepherd.
That's right.
Ace is a good pupper.
That's right.
I do like where he hands her the bottle at the first of the top of the page.
Yep.
I did say cheap, right? Pretty sure I said cheap.
Cheap.
And Terry's, the guy who bought it didn't really know the meaning of the word. And again, movie reference, it made me think of the Justice League movie. It's like, what's your superpower again? I'm rich.
Yep.
But yeah, so they're, he's, you know, telling Beam, like, not everything, but he's kind of spelling it out, and they're having this heart to heart. And Terry just, you know, I love that look. Terry raises his head and looks at her, takes the mask off, and, you know, he it's the final acceptance. Like, he's gone through, like, not explicitly, but he's gone through the five stages of grief.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's lost his dad and everything that's happened with him. And he's really gone. And I like how she said, are you sure he wasn't his dad? Because we have no idea if epilogue happened in this universe. And it doesn't matter if it did or it didn't.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing about this story. Terry had two dads. Yep. He had Warren and he had Bruce.
Yep.
And he's grown into this man. So he's, I love that, you know, it's, my name's Terry, by the way. It's nice to finally meet you. You know, he's not Neil Gibson. He's Terry goddamn McGinnis.
Yep. I mean, look, Neil Gibson is great. That's awesome. It's a nice little, it's Terry's own version of, like, Matches. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not anything against it, but yeah, he's Terry flipping McGinnis. And
it's like the second time he's had an identity with this, because in the Joker storyline that started the last Jurgens run?
Oh, yes, the final
he did use a Matches, like, he did use a Malone alias to get in with Jokers.
Yep.
So I like this. The party, it's going to be this huge party. You see some guy sucking, I don't know if he's smoking on a pipe or sucking some illicit narcotic out of a candy cane. Lumos is, you know, just peacocking it up as the sword watches on.
There's showtime.
This, yeah, like, and you see, like, whatever Gotham Central Park or Gotham Square is just absolutely packed with people. And then we end it with the unveiling in silhouette and lit up chest piece only of, you know, the Batsuit version 3, because after the upgrade suit in the last series.
Yep.
Now, again, because we're both nerds, if you listen to this show for any length of time when I've been on here, folks, me and Mike grew up in the 80s. We see Knight Rider everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like the first episode of Knight Rider where Michael goes into the warehouse and the scanner on Kit lights up.
Lights up for the first time, and that noise happens, and he's just frozen.
Like, I heard the pulse and the woo-woo of it moving like that. Like, this is the Wayne Industries 3000.
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely. Yeah, so issue 5, Gotham's whatever. I forget which Gotham this is now, but
Gotham's Night.
Oh, well, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Absolutely dug it. Thought it was great. Great, you know, character development all around. Great fights. Great, interesting stuff. And just really, really dug it. I don't think there was anything that... I don't think there's anything I didn't like. The Gestalt kind of weirded me out a bit, but not enough to take a point off for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, my favorite thing about this issue is that there is no action. It's all a character piece. It's all character growth and moving the plot forward. And it's a bit. It's not totally exposition heavy, but there is a meaty portion of exposition here. Mostly emotional. And the only way it could have been better is if Ace walked in to the cave at the beginning where Terry's working out and he's just, oh, hey, boy. And he,
yeah,
like it's just not the Batcave without our pup.
Nope.
You know, and as a quick aside, as far as Ace goes, my favorite Ace moment in the animated series is where, Terry's fighting Dr. Cuvier in the Splicers episode. Don't touch my dog. And I was like,
that's right.
Oh, you about to get messed up, Doc.
Yep.
We have issue 5. I love that cover for this one all the way around. This is one of my favorite issues in this miniseries. But when you talk about covers, and we go to issue 6.
Yeah.
It's another... That's a solid home run, if not three-run hit. That's another great movie. This is a poster that I want. Oh,
absolutely, yeah. There are so many Batman Beyond covers from all of the various series that we've had over the years that are just so goddamn good, and all the artists from everybody. It's like, yeah, I want that. I want that. Yeah. I want that as a poster. I want. How much is it going to cost me to get all these posters? Because I want all the posters because yeah. they're all really so and, freaking
and
good.
I've seen, I forget what it's called, but there's like these magnet posters that I see sponsor a lot of my favorite YouTubers. That
Display.
That's it. That's yep. the one. And you can get custom images with that.
Yeah.
So we could potentially get some of these Batman Beyond Neo Year covers as displates to put up on the wall. And then you just got like an album box full of these things, like albums
yep.
that you can file through, like in Shaun of the Dead, and rearrange, you know, change the look of your place on a whim.
Yeah, absolutely. We will most definitely be going through the covers at the end of the episode, folks, because I'm scanning most of them now again really quickly, and I'm like, yep, like that one, yep, like that one, yep, like that one. Okay, where's, yep, 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 absolutely. So great, so awesome, so fun. So issue 6, we kick it off with Lumos kind of going Gold Luther a little bit. He kind of looks like Lex, really. A little bit. In that opening panel here where he's like, it's showtime. Lex would never have that kind of haircut, but okay, sure. And then we get another, because Bruce isn't here anymore, so we get a Terry Barbara moment. And I'm just like, oh, you.
Yeah, no, just to go back, like definitely very, very much a fan, a devotee of Lutherism. Is
yes, yes.
And the one thing I love is that design of his suit where he says showtime. They're overall, it's reminiscent of the Orange Lantern suit that Luther wore in the Blackest Night crossover, where he had an orange ring, which is all about greed and avarice.
Yep.
But I love the Jackson, you know, old woman sitting in an apartment.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of lights on. Kind of reminiscent of some of the times I saw my grandmother Sylvia. Where she just, you know, why would I want to waste the light kind of thing? And the best line that Terry has in this issue, or one of the best lines, is, I need someone who doesn't run away when they hear it. I need someone who runs in.
Yep.
And the only way that scene could have been better is if they quoted Rick and Morty and Barbara goes, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yep. Yeah, it's just so good, you know. And obviously, you know, the city can't kill everyone. Not if we stand together. And, you know how I am. First thing I hear in my head is Nickelback because, you know, when we stand together.
We must stand together. Yeah, like, I love that. And I love that page. You know, you see Gestalt getting shit together in the Batcave. And all these scenes are intercut with Barbara looking at her Batgirl uniform.
Yep.
You know, Terry teaming up with the Jokers. And the look of that one Joker's face, he's like, are you shocking serious?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, but, and you see, like, Beam, Detective Beam, and a bunch of, like, this growing pile of badges on the chief's desk. And, you know, Barbara ends it with, you know what, kid? I'm starting to think Bruce was right about you. And I was just like, goddamn right.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, my heart. You just pulled it out. No more strings. Just yanked it right out.
You just Kalima yourself and hand it over.
Yep.
You know, and we go back to Lumos's party and we see this flying brick is a flying nightclub.
Yeah.
But this thing is also like a, and there's three more, it's like DC's versions of helicarriers. And apparently these things are like floating hubs for this holographic technology that Wayne Powers is about to debut. And you see a bunch of the characters have like these weird little wristwatch type things. And we get Terry's version of the dinner monologue from year one.
Yep.
And we find out that something is draining the nanotech or holographic power from all this stuff. And you have that thing. It's like, you know, like I'm not going to, again, DC, for the love of Adam West, make this into an animated movie. I need to hear Will Friedle say these words.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that page where he gets in this whole thing, you've eaten well, you've chewed up the poor and the distract mm-hmm. and distracted the rich. It ends on that shot of the bat signal in the sky, and you're cutting to the new, you know, yeah. version, the kit suit.
Yep.
As the future belongs to the night. I want that whole image. Like, get rid of the typeface. Get rid of the credits. I want that as a poster, that page.
Yeah.
You know.
That would be great.
Yeah, and Terry goes in, and then the living Gotham, off-brand Skynet, whatever you want to call it, Force converts everyone in this helicarrier into the Sword of Gotham.
Yep.
And it's almost be like a moment of body horror in a horror movie where they all start growing these crests out of their faces and they're screaming in his pain as the nanotech transforms them. And then Terry is faced with what every good hero in an anime needs, to be surrounded by multiple copies of his enemy.
Yep.
All holding the most anime sword that ever animated.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not letting it go, folks. Don't tell me how to live. And I know he's talking to Barbara and Detective Beam, but it's almost like Terry told Barbara to turn a weapon on.
Yep.
And given how badass Detective Beam is, it's not that far off.
Yeah, no. It's so good.
And like that image of Terry in the next page of Terry throwing a holographic, like, energy batarangs to yep. stun and kind of partially take out the knight, the swords, and Lumos is running away right into the cops, but he's like, stop it, you ruined everything, you stupid cosplaying sack of... And then Donovan Lumos, you're under citizen's arrest. And you bring out the old hover cars. They see, even in the future, Gotham City has blimps, because mm-hmm. why the hell not? And Barbara has one of the best, and this is on a level of Arnold Schwarzenegger dropping a line in a movie. Says, next time they fire an old vigilante, maybe they'll remember to change the garage access codes. Badass! Barbara Gordon is like, goddamn badass.
Yep.
Just standing there in her coat, you know, she's got to wear her armor, got the Nick Fury pose going on. You know, Gestalt's broadcasting the tech that's in the Batcave, puts out this jamming field that prevents the living Gotham from reaccessing the Batcave. So they're trying to spread it out over Gotham. Apparently the suit can absorb the holographic energy, the hard light.
Mm-hmm.
And then just Terry drops a shway, and I love it.
Yep.
His wings light up like the Archangel in X-Men and just takes out like a dozen of the swords.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, and again, the one of the things I have to say overall, and I'll go into a little more detail when we sum it up, is the economy of action in each issue, I feel, is very well balanced against the dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
This whole issue is a huge third act action set piece.
Yep.
And I love, you know, Beam comes in, she starts laying down the law, and I mean, nowadays, obviously, because Beam is an immigrant, and I believe she's Vietnamese, so you would want to get, you know, properly, you know, it's like how, I can't remember the voice actress that did Jubilee in the 90s X-Men series.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
She is going to be involved in X-Men 97 when that drops later this year, but she said she's not coming back to voice Jubilee because she wants an actress of Asian descent. Asian heritage to voice an Asian character, which is great. Yeah. So if they didn't get somebody of Vietnamese heritage to voice Beam, I could see Colby Smulders voicing this character.
Interesting. But,
you know, we back Lumos is trying to do his best Bond villain in Escape. Terry's like, I love that. Hello, Donovan.
Yeah.
And you realize this guy, well, he's in. Is a genius, is a fucking idiot, because he hasn't realized that the city has come to life and has basically paved the way for this douche.
Yep.
And then he's like, you know what? I don't care. I'm all in. And we get like one of the best, as Terry's dropping this knowledge on him and revealing himself and you see the holographic technology has been taken down all over Gotham, and he's telling Lumos all this, folks, in order to get him to throw in with him to stop Gotham.
Yep.
But this guy is literally so much like Lex Luthor it hurts, aside from that dumbass piece of hair coming off his head.
Yeah, exactly.
And he opts in, and we get what, as much as I said when that mass conversion happened, this would have been the body horror scene in the movie. Because when he morphs into the Angel of Death, like his final form as the Sword of Gotham, he doesn't look all anime villain. He looks like anime end villain. Like this is...
Yeah, this is the end.
He turns into Gotham's version of Sephiroth.
Pretty much, yeah.
And he's got like this glowy, crackling with energy, skeletal arms. I'll swallow your soul, Batman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of thing. And they get to fight. And how badass was this last scene, like at the end of this page where he yells, "Hey, Jokers." Like he sets it up.
Yeah.
Stage is clear. Audience is present. Joke's all set. Jokers!
Mm-hmm.
Just read the line, Mike. This is your moment.
Oh, geez. I don't even know anymore. Yeah, no, it's so good.
Show him the punchline, and you see that trademark Batman smirk on Terry's face.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is everything I've ever wanted in this comic.
Yep. Absolutely. And they save the day.
Yeah. You got to wonder, though, did these helicarriers crash into Gotham Bay like the helicarriers in Winter Soldier? Because there's a lot, like you see under this one, there's like millions of people down there. It's just, the population's going to take a dip.
Yep.
And he literally blasts the holographic tech out of Lumos. And I love the Gestalt upload ceased, forcing our update. Lumos tech bricked. Yep. City saved. And again, we get that scene where I love any comic book where the villain saves the hero by just yanking him up by his collar. and Lumos is like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I think I soiled myself.
Happy New Year, Bruce.
Yep. Yeah.
We have the living Gotham being like, I took control once. I'll do it again. No, you won't.
It's fading out. And so I forget what movie it's in. It's like, I'm Daisy.
Yep.
It's possible at this point, the living Gotham could take on another name and it could become like an Ultron-like villain for Terry in a future series. Because, it's AI, it's data, it's information. It could have escaped. It could be hiding in a secure server somewhere. But then you have the pettiest douche in the history of douches in Gotham, who is like those internet trolls that go through someone's Twitter feed to find those one or two tweets that's going to get them canceled. He's literally going through the code of Gotham City line by line, folks, and running running of antivirus to get rid of like the living Gotham. Mm-hmm. I love that line. Spite's a hell of a motivator.
Yep.
And I love how the Gestalt have adopted Barbara as their mom.
Yep.
That's awesome. See, they're all posed like Barbara in the Batcave.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we will not mess with this woman. She scares me.
Yep.
And I mean, it's all symbolism in that. I don't know how to feel about Terry finishing his journal, saying goodbye to Bruce, and then burning it. Like, I know why he did, because, he's his own man. No, he doesn't need Bruce.
Yeah.
But to say goodbye like that, it's not uncomfortable, but it just feels off.
No, I think it feels right.
Then I can set the Batmobile to scan for them, can't I?
Uh-huh. Unless they've already made an omelet out of him.
Oh, hey.
For the way that this story was being told, and the way that he was, the monologue was the journal, was the whatever, and Bruce is, sadly, Bruce is dead. He's never going to see this. He's not like, this isn't like the next story. Bruce Wayne's going to come back to life and he's going to find this journal kind of thing. So I think it's Terry, like you said, Terry is and has been become his own man. And I think it's good. I think it's interesting. Maybe he could have like just put it in the Batcave instead of burning it. But also another reason to burn it is so no one finds out what he's writing. You know what I mean? Like,
no, well, I get that. Like I said, it's just me personally.
Yeah.
You know, like I lost my dad over 15 years ago and I still haven't completely said goodbye. So it's a moment that really resonated for me in a lot of moments that resonated me for one reason or another in this comic. But, you know, Terry, you know, he goes back to the food court street fair, you know, beams like, hey, I heard there was a hostage sitch at Wild Ghost Towers. Ninjas, if you can believe it. I was like, Terry, it's Gotham goddamn city. When aren't there ninjas?
Yeah.
You know, and they, nice to meet you for real this time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And like, clearly, like I said, it's Dana, Terry will probably always love Dana, but in this universe, I guess it just never happened.
Yeah.
Or they got married and they got divorced because the work got in the way. Who knows?
Who knows?
And, you know, I just like that. It's like, I hear, you know, you want to go to hit a quiet diner here. Those are great for first dates. I think this is our third.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we know who wears the pants in that relationship, folks. Have fun fighting crime with your girlfriend, Terry.
Yep. We get the last panel, the last full page of the city, and like you said, the street fair, and the end for now, and then we get the standard, you know, James Bond. Batman Beyond will return in 2023. When? Yeah. When? Well, when in 2023?
It's only March, Mike. Like, hold
I don't care.
Horses.
I don't care. Like, when? When's
I'm sure
back?
It'll probably come later this year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like we're completely divorced from the world of Batman Beyond in DC Comics.
True.
But we'll save this up for the wrap-up after the commercial break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so issue six, absolutely dig it. I think it's fun. I think it's great. It was a nice little sort of bow on the whole thing. Very, very cool. Again, amazing art, amazing writing. Fives all around, I guess.
Yeah. No, and I love in that last, second last page before you get that full page spread where Beam's like, I got you a mask. They're selling them over. Huh? Huh? And it's like this goofy looking Halloween Batman mask. And Terry's like, you know what? I'm kind of over masks.
Yeah.
And I do love that shot as you look out over this crowd. Everyone's happy. Gotham survived. You got that big Batman mural over the DJ, which reminded me of that scene in The Amazing Spider-Man when Andrew Garfield sees the guy up on that way too tall ladder spray painting the spider on the wall. But yeah, it's a solid five all around. And yeah,
absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and hear some other stuff and all that good stuff. And we'll be back to close the show right after this.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
Oh, hey, I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are ToonCast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy Toon talk, and now we get the origins of Toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the Toon Talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all Toons all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
Toycast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the Geekcast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. Toycast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to Toycast.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond. Transformers!
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
We are back, folks, and before we get the heck out of here, we are going to wrap this one up by talking about the covers first. And issue one had three covers, at least according to this. And now I'm using Comic Vine. They sometimes don't always have the covers, but at least the ones they do. Actually, no, I had four covers for this. I like the main cover, which is the one with him on the ledge, kind of like Spider-Man would always stand next to Bruce the Gargoyle. The second one is him in like this Batman Beyond, like this Christ-like pose with the living city behind him. Third one is by far my favorite. It's him in the Batmobile. How can you not love Terry McGinnis as Batman in the Batmobile? And then the fourth one is him flying through the city.
Yeah, I think out of the alternate ones, that fourth one where he's being chased by the cops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really dig that one. That's like classic comic book kitsch. I love it.
Yep. The second issue has the main cover. We've talked about this with the Batman kind of like in the target of the middle of the basically on the Joker's tongue, essentially, because all the teeth around him and everything else. And then the alternate cover is done by, I don't know, it's done by somebody, but it's him with, like, the living, the gestalt or what. Yeah. All the tentacles, ladies and gentlemen. Tentacles is what I'm trying to say.
And I'm just looking on the wiki here to see if I can find who that is, but don't you just love it when the internet works, folks? Christian Ward, I believe, does that alternate.
Okay, cool.
For the first one, and Christian Ward did the first one for issue one. Simone DeMeo did the second one, and then Jim Chung and J. David Ramos for the third on the first issue.
Okay. Cool.
And we go to the third, Lumos in his Christ-like pose.
Yep.
And we get the digital Lumos trying to eat Batman.
Yep. The main cover.
Easily. Yeah. I'm just looking for the artist on that alternate one here. Give me a sec. Christian Ward again. And I really dig, like, the original, like, the basic cover is great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that, but that alternate cover, it's a close second. I really dig the digital art and the fade, like the pixelation and the faded colors and
mm-hmm.
kind of the acid trip, like, not that I've ever done acid, you know, like that.
Yeah. I don't have a variant for issue 4, according to Comic Vine. It's just the main cover, which we've already talked about. I don't know if there was a variant for issue 4.
I am looking right now. It says, according to the wiki, there is an alternate cover done by Christian Ward.
Okay, well, 4 and 5 don't have... 4, 5, and 6 do not... I do not see alternate covers, so...
Yeah, if you, like, you look in the wiki and on that blurb on the side, there's an alternate cover by Christian Ward for 5 and looking at 6. Don't you just love how we're prepared, folks?
Yeah, we're not prepared at all, are we?
Well, according to there should be 2 alternate covers for 6.
Huh, interesting.
And they are not shown on Comic Vine, but...
And they're not shown on here either, I don't think.
Ward and Max Dunbar each did an alternate cover for that.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
But yeah, the covers, like you said, folks, issue 1 and issue 6 are definitely the ones that I want to get, like, displayed posters, whatever, for.
So good, so good. Batman Beyond, Neo Year, a fun ride. I'm interested to see what happens next. If we are going to continue on with this, if Jackson and Lansing are going to... I know, like I said before, I know they're currently doing Star Trek stuff, so I'm not sure when... Like, if this says Batman Beyond will return in 2023, I just want to know when and with whom is it returning, because...
Well, gee, it almost sounds like you want a trailer to watch, Mike.
Yeah, well, need something.
I'm sure it's coming. It's, you know, it's like when they said, you know, Iron Man or Doctor Strange or 007 will return mm-hmm. at the end of those movies. Like, it's just, we know it's coming. We just don't know when. I mean, overall, this is a 5 out of 5, a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
Honestly, one of my favorite Batman Beyond stories, because not explicitly because, but, you know, the lack of Bruce in the story itself. Because eventually Terry had to grow up, right? And like I said before, there are other Batman Beyond comics coming out in 2023. An actual series or miniseries. We don't know when that's happening. But there's a Milestone Comics 30th anniversary special coming out.
Yep.
That'll have the future version of Static that we saw in Justice League Unlimited. We'll team up with Terry.
Nice.
And we have the Batman, you know, a sequel series to Curse of the White Knight.
Yeah, Beyond the White Knight. It just wrapped up.
Yeah, where Terry's in there, and I'm sure he'll be involved a little bit.
Oh, boy. Have you not read Beyond the White Knight yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, yeah, he's not just involved.
I'm talking about the next series in that series.
Oh,
the next series is the digital ghost of Joker takes his daughter and his son on a road trip.
Yeah, it's Generation Joker. And then after that, they're going to do Justice League White Knight, supposedly.
See what happens.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. But yeah, I was not expecting the way, like, I love Beyond the White Knight. I thought it was great. I want more of that. Like, I know, I think at the back of that or on, because I listened to Sean Gordon Murphy and Clay McCormick, I listened to their Badass podcast, and they were talking about it in, like, this kind of wrap-up thing for White Knight or Beyond the White Knight. And, you know, at one point I think Sean says in there something about, separating Terry or something. I'm like, as long as you give me more Terry, I don't care what you do. Like, I need to see more of Sean Gordon Murphy, Terry McGinnis, because that was awesome. So very cool. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us. Any final thoughts from you, sir?
Dear God, people, read this comic now. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Why are you still listening to this podcast? Go read the book. All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ThePullBag for the show. I am @TFU and Mike. What is your Twitter?
@JT from Saskatoon across all most social medias. I tried Mastodon. I don't recommend it.
Nope, I won't even do it. I'm going down with the sinking ship that apparently is Twitter. It's okay. I don't need a half broken Zord as a social media platform. Thank you. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Join us next time when we'll be doing another comic origins episode. We're going to have Brad Felicki from Dark Knight News podcast or what? I forget. I had Steve J. Ray on back in episode 414, and Brad is going to come on and do his origins. And then after that, I don't know what's happening. I think we have Autobot Lee April coming up, seeing as how this is probably going to be somewhere in the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I am TFG and Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
As always, make your great escape into comics.
Ace. Good bad dog.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
I mean, I do got to apologize for the...
That's all right.
My voice.
It's okay. Hey, at least we're keeping it consistent.
Yeah. On brand.
Yeah. From last week to this week. Sorry, folks. JT is still sick. Yes, I'm still a monster for making him podcast. I basically, you know, flew to Canada and just shoved the microphone down his throat.
It isn't human. Destroy it!
Way ahead of you.
Batmobile. Ignition.
Sorry, pal, but you're history.